Text: Hallmark Entertainment presents an orange sun sets over a cloudy sky and silhouetted trees. Text: An Alpine Madian production. In association with Larry Levinson Productions. A snow-capped mountain towers over a forest. Text: And Faith and Values Media. Title: Love Comes Softly. A woodland stretches into the horizon. Text: Katherine Heigl. Trees enclose a valley of amber soil. Text: Dale Mitkiff. A sprawling tree overlooks a meadow with smoky, rolling hills. Text: Corbin Burnson. Two horses pull a covered wagon through a field. Text: Teresa Russell. A caravan of covered wagons and men on horses. Text: Oliver McCready. And Sky McCole Bartusiak as Missy Davis. The caravan carves through a hillside. Text: Casting by Penny Perry. Music by Ken Thorne, William Ashford. Edited by Colleen Halsey. Directory of Photography, James Wren. Executive Producer, William Spencer Riley. Co-Executive Producer, Michael Landon Jr., Faye Schwab. Co-Executive Producer, Nick Lombardo. Supervising Producer, Brian J. Gordon. Produced by Kyle Clark, Kevin Bocardi.
It's been almost a year since I left my home in the East and traveled west with the man I loved. I was positive about my future, full of hopes and dreams. Our eyes were always on the end of the trail, as if life as I envisioned it would be just that.
Based on book by Jeanette Oak.
In fact, if someone had told me that I would find myself here today, I would have called them crazy.
Director Michael Landon Jr.
I was sure of myself and where I was headed. Stubborn, full of pride. I was in control. Or so I thought.
Woman stomps away.
You're acting like a kid, Marty. Get back here.
No. Not until you admit that I am right and head this way.
We're going in the right direction.
We're going north.
Mr. Graham said to go north.
He said to go northwest. Don't you think it's strange we haven't come upon it yet?
She glares and stomps off.
Well, we'd be there already if the weight of these books hadn't slowed us down.
Runs after her.
Those books will provide us with a little culture once we get settled.
Well, it's just too bad we can't eat any of that culture.
Ugh.
That 200 pounds of beans and rice that we had to toss off the wagon to lessen the weight would taste a whole lot better right now than the 200 pounds of books we got.
None of this would have happened if you hadn't talked me into coming out here to the middle of nowhere, Aaron Claridge.
We both know that you don't do anything you don't want to do.
They exchange scowls before she leaves him, plodding through a meadow of dry grass.
For once in your life, be reasonable!
I'm tired. Sick and tired of the dirt and miles that seem to lead nowhere and the layers of dust on my skin. Aching feet, aching back. If I never sit in that wagon again, it'll be all right by me.
They pause, gaping down below. A smile spreads across Aaron's face. Her hand clasps his. Below, a river winds through a vast forest. The two ride, smiling. She clutches his arm and kisses his cheek. They traipse through a meadow, their covered wagon resting near a tree line along the riverside.
It's exactly like a picture.
Aaron stops and points, striding forward.
Can you see it? Just over there.
A cabin. With curtains in the windows.
And over here, a barn.
And a garden, where we'll grow our own food.
Those trees are just made for swings, for all those kids are gonna look just like their mom.
I don't mind if they look like their father.
We did it. We actually did it, Marty. This just feels right, doesn't it? This will be the perfect place to raise a family. Pass down the land to our children and give them opportunities that are limitless.
She rests her arms around his neck.
We can do anything. As long as we're together.
They gaze at each other and kiss. They grin. He lifts and spins her around.
Promise me that even if things get rough, we'll remind each other of that, okay?
I promise.
They embrace. The sun rises over a mountain. Marty sleeps.
Dad, blame it.
She stirs. Aaron peels open the cover.
Marty.
He climbs in and hats his head.
One of the horses got away.
Oh, no, Aaron.
I'm taking the other horse and I'm going after him. Shouldn't be gone too long. He's probably just a ways downstream.
He throws on a coat before leaving. She pulls apart the cover, peering out.
I'm coming with you.
He mounts a horse.
No need. I'll be back with the horse before breakfast. Make up a lot of pancakes. I'll be hungry.
They grin before he rides off. She recedes into the wagon. Trees pepper a sunny hill. Aaron and his horse trot past a tree. He scans the trees.
Got it.
A black horse stomps around.
Yeah!
The horse takes off with Aaron in pursuit. His pace quickens. The black horse narrowly cuts through a pair of trees. Aaron's horse falls over, causing Aaron to slam against a boulder. The black horse gallops away. He lies motionless. At the campsite, a stack of pancakes rests in front of Marty. She looks around, arms akimbo. She steps toward the wagon, brows furrowed. In a stream, she rubs clothes on a washboard. From behind, we inch toward her.
Marty.
She stands and turns, smiling. Calm river water. Her smile fades. On a fallen tree, she sits, hands in her lap, clasping a book. She smiles, drops the book, and runs. She pauses. A man on a horse gallops down a hill toward her. On the horse is a large blanket. The horse slows. The man dismounts and approaches her. He removes his hat.
Miss Claridge. Ben. Ben Graham, ma'am. Met you a couple days back.
He glances at the horse behind him.
Found him about an hour ago.
She gulps. She approaches the horse and lifts the blanket. Underneath is Aaron. She sinks to her knees, her eyes unmoving. She looks at Ben, who averts his gaze. She looks back at Aaron before rising and striding toward the wagon.
Claridge, can I get you some water? Ma'am?
She climbs into the wagon, curls against the wall, and throws her hands over her mouth.
Miss Claridge?
Outside the wagon, hat in hand, Ben looks about.
I guess you'd be needing time to think. My wife has seen your husband. The preacher's leaving tomorrow. I can bring him back here first thing in the morning. A few words.
He He leaves. Below a full moon, trees rustle. A breeze rustle open the flaps of the wagon. Inside, she hugs her legs, rocking back and forth.
We're fine.
We're fine. We're fine. We're fine.
The morning sun splashes her face.
Hello? Mrs. Claridge?
Marty's wet, eyes open.
Marty? It's me. Sarah Graham, Ben's wife. You met me a couple days ago.
Through a slit in the flaps, a woman peers in.
Marty.
She opens the flaps.
It's time.
Marty stares aimlessly.
We need to start your husband's funeral. We don't want to be starting it without you.
Marty crawls out the wagon. Sarah helps her walk. Marty halts. A congregation looks back at her.
I can't do this.
Sarah pulls Marty toward her.
Just a moment, please.
We'll wait.
Sarah leaves her and joins the congregation. At the river, Sarah cups water and wipes her face. She brushes back her disheveled hair. She joins the others.
Search of a dream. This untimely death means that one journey is over. Another has just begun.
Along a riverside, a man in a gray hat looks upward, his breath billowing outward. He clasps his hands to his chest. Sarah looks to Marty.
Winter is coming, and there's no wagon train heading east till spring. I don't know how you're fixed for money to board in town, but you're going to have to make a decision, and soon.
Marty nods.
Well, you take tonight and think on it, and Ben will come check on you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Sarah leaves with Ben. At the riverbank, the man peers down and picks up Sarah's dropped book. He reads the spine. Sarah kneels over a grave with a cross. She places her hand on the soil as rain falls. A man stands behind her.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm Clark Davis, and I'm truly sorry about your loss.
She stares at him.
I have a proposition for you.
He kneels down, his clothes and hair soaked. She turns back to the soil, working it with her hands.
I know it's not the right place or the right time. But I figure if we marry, it'll help solve both our problems. You'll have a roof over your head. And all your needs will be met. And my Missy? Well, she'll have a mama. I know it sounds crazy.
He gulps and blinks.
And the timing is unlikely. But you have to understand, the preacher is leaving the area today and he's not going to be back until spring.
Sarah glances at him.
And I ask this, only for my daughter. I'm thinking, that she needs a woman's hand in parts of her life. I know it's not the perfect solution, but when the wagon train heads back east in the spring, I'll pay the passage so you can go home.
You'll help me get home?
If that's what you want.
He nods.
I'll leave you to think on it, Matt.
He hats his head. He tips his hat and leaves. She looks back at him, her brows furrowed. In the afternoon, youth encircle two fighting kids.
Chasing after them, that's it.
Men on a porch notice.
Hey, try to stop them.
Hey, hey.
A man pulls a girl off.
Miss it. Hey, come here.
She struggles.
He started it, Pa.
You get up. Get up.
Princess, I got a new ma.
She crosses her arms.
He's lying to me.
Is that true, Clint?
No, sir. She poked me right in the nose for no good reason. You're a liar. That is so a good reason.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Clark pulls back Missy.
Apologize.
She's Clint's.
Sorry.
The man smacks Clint's head. Clint relents.
Sorry.
What did I tell you about fighting with girls?
I ain't fighting with no girl. It's just Missy.
The man shoves Clint.
Get inside. Go on.
He pats Clark's arm.
Come on, Missy.
Clark and Missy turn to leave. From a distance, Marty and Sarah watch. Clark kneels in front of Missy, holding her.
God, I don't want to do this. I just want to go home.
Now you listen to me. There is no place in this part of the country to waste your time crying over wants. Your life's about needs now. You need a roof over your head for the winter.
Marty nods. In the room.
We are here today, gathered in the Lord's name, to join this man and this woman in marriage. Please join hands.
Clark timidly holds Marty's still hand.
Will you, Clark Davis, take Marty Claridge to be your lawful wedded wife?
Clark nods.
I will.
Marty's wide eye scans the ceiling.
And will you, Marty Claridge, take Clark Davis to be your husband.
Missy peers through a window. Marty looks behind. A woman guides Missy away. The preacher nods at Marty.
Just answer, I will.
I will.
Then I pronounce you man and wife.
She pulls her hand from Clark's. Outside, two horses pull an uncovered wagon with Clark, Missy, and Marty. They stop at a house. Missy hops out.
Buddy. Give me a pony.
I'll bring in your trunk.
A dog chases after Missy, who climbs a ladder leaning against a tree. Marty watches her. Inside, Marty enters. Clark emerges from a room, pausing at the doorway.
This is the bedroom you and Missy will be sharing. I'll get my things moved into the lean-to.
She walks past him, enters the room, and closes the door. She wanders into the corner of the room, leaning against it. She clasps her arms and falls to the floor. Her eyes water. She leans her head against the wall and closes her eyes. At night, she awakens, still against the wall. She rests in a bed, looking at a picture frame on a bedside table. In the picture frame is the portrait of a woman. Marty turns the picture toward her and rolls over, a tear falling from her eye. In the morning, Missy moves plates from a table to a sink. Marty opens the bedroom door and enters. Missy turns and crosses her arms. Clark enters from the front door, gripping his hands.
What?
Marty's hands rest behind her.
Saved you some ham. I'm not much of a cook, but it's usually pretty filling.
I've never seen nobody sleep so long. I thought you might be dead.
Missy, go and wait for me in the wagon.
Missy purses her lips and leaves.
Got some things I need to tend to. I'll be taking Missy with me. Won't be back till supper.
Marty nods. He tips his hat and leaves. She peers out a window before taking a plate from the table. She grabs a fork from the pan, pauses, and drops it. She snatches a slice of ham and shovels it into her mouth, following up with a biscuit. Outside, Marty emerges from the house. She wanders into the yard and sits on a swing. She swings back and forth. She struggles to hold on. The swing comes to a standstill. She heaves, hands in her lap. At night, she lies in her bed. A dim light falls onto her, and she buries her head into her hand. At the doorway, Missy looks up at Clark.
She's sleeping again.
Mm-hmm. Clark nods.
Let's go have our supper.
Is she all right?
No. But she will be.
Clark closes the door. Marty opens her eyes. She sits erect. She looks to the side at Missy sleeping in another bed. Through a window, Marty peers at a horse and Clark plowing land. She rests back down.
And bless this dear child in her time of grief. And bless this food before us, and we thank you for the fine day ahead of us. Amen.
Marty emerges from the bedroom. Clark notices and gets up from the table. She sits opposite of Missy.
You got an awful lot of pretty dresses. Seems like you got an awful lot of fancy things that aren't good for my genitals.
We fetched your wagon for you yesterday and we brought it into the barn.
What are you gonna do with all them books?
In a barn, Marty picks up a book. Carrying a harness, Clark enters.
I checked to see if there was any food that would spoil when I was picking up your things.
We planned on buying supplies as soon as we found our land.
Books must be pretty important to you. I'll see if we can find space for him in the cabin.
I'm not sure what you're expecting from me.
She shakes her head.
Come with me.
He leaves the barn. She follows.
Missy's 9 years old. She works almost as hard as I do, sun up to sundown. Has been for the last couple years.
Missy shovels straw.
She never complains.
But the work is stealing her childhood. She doesn't know what she's missing. But I do. Maybe if somebody's there to share the chores, she'd have time to learn some of the things I think you could teach her.
Marty drops and picks up her head.
Things she'd learn from her mother.
And when I go home in the spring?
I figure I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
He laves behind her.
The books.
Clark pauses and turns.
How did you know they were mine and not Aaron's?
Oh, well, man would have thrown them off the wagon at the first big hill. Unless he was trying to please a stubborn woman.
He leaves. Marty enters a chicken coop where Missy scatters feed from a bucket.
Why are you here?
I thought you could use some help. What would you like me to do?
You may need a place to stay, but I don't need a mother. Paul and me have been doing just fine.
Missy sizes up Marty, who raises her arms akimbo.
I'm a little unsure about what to do.
Marty approaches the chickens.
Why don't you show me how to get those eggs out from underneath their, you know,
their rears?
From an occupied nesting box, Missy withdraws an egg and looks at Marty incredulously. Marty sits underneath a cow while Missy writes on a tablet.
Spell cow.
K-A...
Close. It's C-O-W.
Gertie don't care if I know how to spell cow or not.
Gertie doesn't care. But I do, and so does your pa. So let's try another one. Spell fun.
F.
Marty pulls her hands from the cow's udders. Missy sighs.
How do you spell warm?
Warm, W-A-R-M.
I think you better W-A-R-M your hands.
What?
Well, how do you expect Gertie to give you good milk when you're freezing her like that? Probably spill milk and...
Missy jumps down from her perch on a fence, taps Marty aside, and milks the cow herself.
How'd you get to be so old without not knowing how to do nothing?
Marty tries retorting, instead taking a deep breath and closing her eyes. Outside, Marty rises a bucket from a covered well while Missy shovels manure. Mid-shovel, she eyes Marty, who carries the bucket to a trough. Missy watches. Missy contemplates the manure. A smile creeps across her face. Marty turns. Manure pelts her backside. She freezes. She sets down the bucket and starts after Missy but struggles opening the gate separating them. Missy grins.
Oops. I really didn't mean to.
I know exactly what you're meaning to do, Missy. Now you listen to me.
She marches to Marty.
You're not my mother, and I don't have to listen to you.
As long as I am here.
I don't want you here.
I've got news for you. I don't want to be here either. But the fact of the matter is, I made a bargain with your father, and I intend to keep my end of that bargain, even if you do everything short of trying to kill me in the process. So the way I see it, if I can survive traveling for months in a covered wagon, losing my husband, marrying a complete stranger, I can survive you.
They glower at each other. Inside, Marty eats opposite Missy and stares her down.
So how was your day?
Fine.
You're fine.
I ran into Ben and Sarah Graham in town today, and they were asking after you.
That was kind of them.
Actually, they invited us all to their annual get-together.
Is it already time?
It is. You see, the Grahams have a party this time of year. So all the folks can get together before stuck inside for the winter.
Marty and Missy chew.
We'd understand it if, you know, you went up for a party. But it's up to you.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't like it. There's tons of people you won't know. You probably just like staying home better. Don't you think, Paul?
Marty squints.
I think I will go.
Good.
She looks at a pouting Missy, who has a bit of food on her lip. At night, the Davis residence. Marty opens her door to Clark.
What is it?
I just need to talk to you.
Missy's asleep and I'm ready for bed. Can't we talk tomorrow?
Well, that's just it. I won't be here tomorrow. I'm leaving before sunup. I'm gonna help our neighbor.
Fine.
Shut store.
Wait.
Open store.
What else?
I'll be leaving Missy here with you.
That is why I'm here.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if you were up to dealing with the spirited.
I'm fine. Something else?
No. Yeah. I'll be back by supper.
Shut store.
Good night.
Good night.
In the morning, Marty startles awake and looks over at Missy's empty bed. She emerges from the bedroom while tying her clothes.
Missy?
She pauses and scans the room before leaving the house. She pauses and scans the yard.
Missy? Missy, answer me! Where are you?
She enters the barn.
Missy?
Just before turning, she notices straw falling from above, where Missy is hiding, peering at Marty.
Missy!
She pokes her head up.
You better get out of here.
Why don't you come down so we can get to work?
Okay. Just as soon as he leaves.
He?
Missy points down. Marty turns. A skunk. She beckons to Missy while inching away.
Just come down slowly. I've read that they won't spray unless they feel threatened.
You read that in one of your books?
Uh-huh.
And you believe it?
I do.
Well, not me. I'm starving and I gotta use that outhouse something fierce. And I'm not coming down. Buddy, no!
The skunk tries escaping and sprays Marty. The dog flees. Marty flaps her arms around her face. Missy peers over, grimacing.
Guess he felt threatened.
In a tub, Marty sits, glowering, as Missy smashes tomatoes over her head. A clothespin pinches Missy's nose.
Are you sure this is going to take the smell away?
More or less. Some of it's just gonna have to wear off.
At night, inside, Missy sits backward on a chair while Marty cooks.
The fire's dying.
But could you?
I ain't supposed to. I could burn myself.
Marty adds logs to the fireplace.
Something's burning.
Oh, no.
She hurries over to the stove and shoves aside a pan.
Oh!
Clark enters.
Let me help you. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, Missy. Get me some butter, would you? Come on, sit down.
It's fine.
No, you sit down here. I'm going to wrap it up now.
Marty and Clark sit while Missy fetches butter. She offers a bowl to Clark.
Thank you.
He takes the bowl.
It's nothing, really.
Dab's hand.
Okay. Man, now this will just take some of the stain out.
Dab's butter on her hand.
Pancakes are all burnt.
He ties a rag.
Here you go. Like that. You know, you get the hang of that stove. It just takes a little practice, that's all.
She withdraws her bandaged hand. He grimaces.
So where'd the skunk find you?
Missy grins and crosses her arms.
The barn.
Marty glowers.
Better get some more tomatoes, Pa. Took almost a whole bushel to get her smelling this good.
Clark grins.
Well, I'll see what we've got for supper in the icebox. Missy, why don't you go ahead and stoke that fire?
He leaves out the front door. Grinning, Missy struts past Marty. In the afternoon, Clark in a wagon speaks to Marty.
I'll try to get all the things on your list for you while I'm in town.
Missy tiptoes out the house.
You sure you don't want to go with us?
No. She said she don't.
She marches past Marty.
Doesn't.
Marty rolls her eyes. Missy turns.
Hope you can make something better than burnt pancakes.
Missy rolls her eyes.
Too bad I'll be gone because I can make some real good fried chicken. I'm ready, Pa.
She climbs onto the wagon and dons a coat.
We'll see you soon.
Marty watches them pull away. Inside, Marty sits at a table, poring over books.
How hard can it be?
She furrows her brows and glances up. She strides toward an axe on a tree stump.
If a child can do this, I can do this.
She takes the axe. In the chicken coop, she reaches for a chicken.
Come here, chicken.
The chickens run from her as she chases them. She crawls after them.
here! Here! Dad, ram it!
She stands, arms akimbo. Finally snagging a chicken, she smiles and rises. Outside, Marty lifts the axe overhead, shuts her eyes, and swings down. The chicken wanders off. Marty grabs the axe, puffs at her chest, and strides back to the coop. The axe slams down. Marty walks to the house, a chicken hanging from her hand. Inside, she reads a book.
Pull feathers out with the grain.
She winces at the chicken in a pot.
You better be worth it.
Back at the tree stump, Clark, packages in hand, bends down to examine the bloodied, feathered tree stump. He smiles and picks up a beak. Missy runs to him from the chicken coop.
Looks like a coyote got in there.
More like a wild woman with an axe.
They enter the house and encounter a floor splattered with feathers. Marty turns, plate in hand.
Good. You're back. Supper's ready.
We made fried chicken.
Clark nudges Missy.
Good, because I was getting awful sick of pink.
Marty blows a feather from her hair.
Me too.
She sets the plate of fried chicken on the table. At night in the bedroom, Missy watches Marty fold clothes.
Sure won't want to have to wash all that.
I left half my things at home.
It's kind of wasteful, don't you think?
Wasteful?
To have so many. You can only wear one dress at a time.
Surely you must have some dresses of your own.
One for when the river passes this way and holds the service. Like I said, you can only wear one dress
at a time.
My mama made beautiful quilts. Hers would put this here pattern to shame. She made quilts for all the neighbors when they had their babies.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
Folks love my mama, especially my pa.
Missy looks down.
That's why his eyes ain't sparkly like they used to be.
Marty looks back at the portrait next to her bed.
She certainly was beautiful.
She was the prettiest thing you ever saw. Everybody said so.
You must miss her very much.
Missy moves to the lantern and blows it out. As she climbs into bed, Marty, still standing, looks at her trunk of clothes. In the kitchen, Marty drags a tub in which she pours a steaming pot of water. In the tub, she reclines, eyes closed. Outside, Clark emerges from his lean-to, glances into a window, and enters the front door. He hangs up his lantern. He blows into his cupped hands and rubs them together. He spots Marty resting in the tub, and his jaw drops.
Oh, Lord.
She awakens. He backs into the stove.
I'm sorry.
Clutches his hand and falls onto table. He collapses. Marty grimaces. Dripping, she steps out the tub and scampers off while he lies unconscious. During the day inside, Marty sips from a cup while Missy draws a house on a tablet. Clark walks past a window.
Where's your father going?
On his Sunday walks. It's his time to be alone and talk to the Lord.
But he has a lot to talk to him about this morning.
What'd you say?
I think I'll take a little walk of my own. Are you all right here by yourself?
Missy scowls at Marty. She exits the house and pauses in the yard, watching Clark cleave toward a tree line. Marty walks the opposite direction. Inside, Missy watches Marty leave. Missy opens Marty's trunk and rifles through it. She selects a pink dress. Outside, Marty wanders, looking about. She rubs her arms and heads back. Inside, Missy carefully lays the dress on her bed. Through the ajar bedroom door, Marty steps through the front door.
I picked this dress because I know pink is your favorite color.
Marty tiptoes, peeping through the door.
I love it when you wear pink, Mama. You You always look so pretty.
Missy draws open a curtain.
There. Letting in the sun will make you feel better.
Sitting on the bed, she strokes buttons on a sleeve.
I don't know why they didn't let me come here, Mama. So I would have said you're just like this. And I wouldn't have made you cut or sad.
Her eyes well up.
I just wanted to tell you that I love you.
Tears fall.
And I miss you.
Marty clutches her mouth. Missy turns. Marty hurries away, and Missy follows outside.
You're spat on me!
Stomps.
No.
You're lying. And I saw you. You were watching. How could you do that?
Missy, I didn't mean to be there. But I do know what you're feeling.
Don't say that. You don't know nothing.
I do want to help you.
I don't want your help. I hated that you're here. I wish it was spring so you would leave.
Marty watches Missy dash off to climb a treehouse ladder. From a distant tree line, Clark looks on. Inside, Marty folds clothes, taking them from a drawer. She spots Clark, a book in hand, standing in the doorway.
I didn't mean to. I was cold. I didn't mean to walk in on her like that.
I know what you mean. About last night, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to walk.
I don't know what I was thinking. I can't stay here.
Why?
Why? That little girl hates me. You were right. She does need a mother. But I'm not the right person. She doesn't know it, but she's still grieving.
That's why you're the right person.
It's just not going well.
Closes drawer.
It's going just the way I thought it would. I mean, I knew she wouldn't like it at first.
Then why put her through this?
Because I love her. And she needs more than I can give her.
Seems like an awful lot of trouble to go through for just a few months of lessons and letters and sewing.
Nothing's a waste of time. It adds to the person that you are. And I'm counting on the fact that knowing you is going to add to the person that Missy will become. I know you can find a way to get through to her.
How do you know?
That's what I prayed for.
He blinks and departs. She settles on her bed. Something catches her eye.
Maybe I will.
On Missy's bed, the pink dress. Over the pink dress, Marty lays a black fabric. With scissors, she cuts the pink dress along the edge of the black fabric. In firelight, she sits and sews. In the morning, Missy emerges bleary-eyed from the bedroom. She rubs her eyes. She pauses, staring. She tiptoes. She touches a pink dress resting in the lap of Marty, who slumbers in a chair. She stirs. She holds the dress against Missy, who takes it, looks down, and smiles. Outside, Clark places a basket on the wagon. Marty dons a bonnet.
We're ready.
Wearing a blue dress and black shawl over a white, long-sleeve blouse, she turns. Behind her, Missy, wearing the pink dress, steps forward. Clark gives a curious smile and approaches her.
I
He kneels and smiles.
You look beautiful, Missy.
He strokes Missy's smiling face.
Thanks, Pa.
They embrace. To Marty, he mouths, "Thank you." She nods and smiles. At the Graham get-together, Clark, Missy, and Marty ride in. The horses stop. Missy climbs over Marty and hops off. Clark jumps off. Marty stares at a group of women preparing food at a table. Missy ambles through a group of playing children, who gradually notice her. One points at Missy. One of the children is Clint Graham, whose jaw drops.
Gotta catch flies with your mouth hanging open like that.
She shoves Clint. A girl follows Missy. Carrying a basket, Clark helps Marty down from the wagon. They move toward the gathering. In the wagon, Missy sleeps, resting her head on Marty's shoulder. The wagon jolts. She clutches her abdomen.
What are you expecting?
February. How did you know?
When Ellen was expecting Missy, she'd hold on to her belly. Like you just did.
Oh. I was going to tell you. The baby won't be a problem, and I'm sure it won't change the fare for when I go home in the spring. You must be thinking I should have told you.
Actually, I was thinking I'm glad you're going to have a little one. To remember him by.
She smiles softly. Inside, Marty tends to a kettle.
And a wet.
At the table, Missy reads a book.
Wagon. Waggle.
Keep trying to sound it out.
And the wagon.
Good.
Missy shuts the book.
Tired of trying.
Crosses her arms.
It's too hard and I don't need to read anyhow.
Okay, fine.
Marty holds bowl.
You don't care if I do it?
No, not if you don't like adventures.
Reading ain't no adventure.
Once you can read, you can have every adventure you ever dreamed of.
With a whisk, she mixes the bowl.
In the pages of a book, you are a princess in a tower, or the best shot in the West. In those pages, there are no limits to where you can go, who you can be.
Missy smiles.
No one will ever tell you you're too young to slay the dragon because it all happens right here where it's safe.
I guess it wouldn't hurt them to practice a little bit more.
Clark opens the front door. Inside, Marty and Missy sit, knitting in front of the blazing fireplace.
I'll be back.
Okay, Pa.
He departs. Marty sets down her needles and yarn and nears a window to watch Clark leave. Buddy chases after him. She takes a coat.
I think a walk will do me good as well.
Missy looks up and nods. Marty dons the coat and ventures outside. She walks past trees. Focused, she ducks under a branch. She tiptoes. At the top of a hill, Clark sits with Buddy. She grins and covers her mouth. Her smile fades and her brows furrow. Near Clark.
Wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it.
Near Marty. She hurries away. She freezes. On a hill, Aaron's black horse grazes. Snow begins to fall on Clark and Buddy. Clark gazes upward at a thick, dark cloud. He dons his hat and takes the book beside him. On the hill where the black horse graces, Marty paces toward it. She slows as the horse looks up, a loose rope dangling from its harness. Marty reaches out and clutches the rope. A snowstorm surges. Clark and Buddy rush inside. A worried Missy rises from the table.
Winter's coming on with the sun and the snake bite. It's a whiteout.
Where's Marty?
Is she here?
She went walking back when you did.
He glances at the coat rack and races toward a gun in a holster. He kneels in front of Missy.
Back here in 10 minutes. Here's the gun. You open the door. Two hands. Raise above your head. You keep firing until you see me, all right?
He lowers her overhead hands.
Whatever you do, you don't leave that door.
He pulls her close.
Come be fine.
He darts to the front door, looks back, and nods. She watches him depart. Outside, blinding snow attacks him.
Marty!
A flurry of white.
Marty!
Inside, Missy picks up the gun and moves to the window. She turns to a clock that reads 10 o'clock. Clock stumbles forward. Snow floods the air. From a wall of white, Clark's figure emerges. He staggers forward, arms shielding his head. Through the blizzard, he spots the fence line. Inside, the clock reads 10:07. Missy pants. Outside, Clark shuffles ahead and crosses his arms. The legs of a horse and a crouching hooded figure materialize. Clark spots them. He lifts the figure, whose hood drops, revealing Marty's blonde hair. She hangs her arms around Clark's neck as he muddles back through the snow. Inside, Missy gulps and stares at the clock, which nearly reads 10:10. The front door opens, and Missy raises the gun above her head, pointing it at the sky. In the blizzard, Clark and Marty's figures. At the front door, Missy clenches shut her eyes. Clark changes his path repeatedly. Missy looks at the gun and raises it back up. She sprints to the table and slams down the gun. Meanwhile, Clark, still carrying Marty, looks around at the blinding snow. Spoon in hand, Missy grabs a pot from the stove. She rushes to the door and bangs the pot. Clark squints. Missy grimaces, her gaze searching the opaque white hair. Silhouette emerges. Missy nearly cries and takes a deep breath. In the bedroom, Clark rests in a chair between the two inhabited beds. Marty jolts. Clark adjusts her comforter.
She's all right.
Missy is sitting up.
What about the baby?
Baby's fine. Okay, go on, get some rest.
She lies back down. In the morning, Clark, hands clasped, sees Marty stir.
We should never have gone after that horse.
Man loses a horse, he goes after it. It's simple as that.
Outside, snow blankets the riverbank. A shotgun pokes through the tree line. Clark takes aim and cocks both hammers. In the distance, a black turkey trots by.
Thank you, Father, for this food, this shelter, and this companionship. And as we come into the season of the birth of your son, please make our hearts thankful that he came. Amen.
They rise from their repose.
I love Christmas.
Marty passes beans.
And I already know what I'm gonna make you, Pa.
Is it something I can wear?
Missy rolls her eyes.
He's always trying to trick me into telling him. I'm smarter than that.
Yes.
So, what do you do to get ready for Christmas at your house?
Well, about a week before Christmas, we go to Franklin's and pick out a nice pine tree.
There's pine tree growing in the city?
No. It's a tree lot. Someone has already cut them down.
You don't get to pick your own tree and see which one smells the best, which one looks the prettiest in the snow?
Not exactly. But we find one we like, then someone delivers it to us. Then we add to our ornament collection by going to Purcell's store. They have the most beautiful glass balls and red ribbons to put on the tree. We make hot cocoa, drink it by the fire.
And then your pa reads you the Christmas story.
Marty looks down.
No.
Why not?
Well, it just wasn't something that we did.
Clark places turkey on Marty's plate.
Christmas without a Christmas story. Well, when you get back, you have to tell him to read it to you.
My father passed away a couple of years ago.
What about your mama?
Actually, she's gone, too.
So, who will you spend Christmas with when you get back home?
Well, I used to have it with Aaron, of course. I have an aunt that I'm close to. And I have friends there, you know, back home. You can certainly have Christmas with your friends, can't you? I mean, there's no hard, fast rule that it has to be with family.
Marty slides a crouton into her mouth.
Well, you'll have your baby now. You could spend Christmas with it and teach it all about you.
Supper's getting cold. How about a little less talking and a little more eating? Anyway, the joy of the season is it's a gift. It's right there for everybody, right for the taking. Doesn't matter where you spend it or who you spend it with.
Missy chews and smiles. Marty returns a smile. Outside, Missy lies on a dragging pine tree. Clark rides a horse pulling the tree. They journey along the river. Inside, Marty opens the door as Missy lugs in the tree. Clark brings up the rear. Marty smiles and touches her abdomen. In the barn, Clark fashions wood pieces. In the house, Marty reads to Missy, who prances about in a burgundy blanket. Sitting in Marty's lap, Missy knits through Marty's guiding hands. Marty smiles but is startled and looks up. She takes her hands away as Missy places the fabric behind her back. Clark eyes them as he closes the door. Marty lifts a book on her lap and reads it to Missy. Over the stove, Marty stirs a steaming pot and lids it. She flips eggs in a pan with a spatula. She checks a kettle and opens the oven to remove a loaf pan holding golden brown bread. A beaming Missy opens the bedroom door. Behind her is Marty. Missy's mouth opens, and she rushes to a large wood, model house with a red ribbon. She hugs Clark, who smiles. Marty's smile widens. Clark turns to her, holding a wood cradle with blankets. He sets it down on the table. Marty beams at him. In a chair by the fireplace, Clark reads a book to Missy, who reclines in his lap.
Where is he?
Missy glances over to Marty, who sways in a rocking chair, her hands clasped over her belly. Dusk illuminates a snowy landscape. Inside, Marty cuts the end of a yarn cord to a garment and places the scissors on her belly. Missy, knitting her own garment, takes the scissors.
Marty? Where'd this baby come from?
Well, you know, from... Hasn't your pa ever told you?
No.
Marty looks at the ceiling.
Maybe you should ask him.
Don't you know where your own baby come from?
Came from. And yes, of course I do. It's the same as you. My husband Aaron loved me so much. It spilled over and made a baby.
What spilled over?
It.
What's it?
The love. I think that button is still loose.
Wow.
What?
Just thinking about all the brothers and sisters Clint has. There's been a lot of love spilling over at the Grahams.
Marty grins.
Indeed.
I wonder if my pa could ever feel that way about someone again.
He could, I guess. Give me your hand. Feel.
She places Missy's hand on her belly.
What's that?
That is someone who's getting pretty impatient to get out and meet you.
They smile at each other. Snow cloaks the hillside. Clark plods into the house and sets his head on the wall rack. He shakes his coat, turns around, and pauses concerningly.
Marty?
She hunches over the stove.
I thought it was just back pain that I was having, but now I'm not so sure.
She sits at a table.
You having regular pains?
Just starting to. Uh-huh. I think it's time.
He nods.
I'm gonna go get Missy.
He leaves. Marty looks down, fretting, her hand guarding her belly.
There is no way I am letting you be my midwife. Find someone else.
There ain't no time for that.
Isn't? And it's okay. I'll make time. Did you deliver Missy?
No, there was Sarah.
But Pa's delivered plenty of cows.
Oh, that's good. I feel so much better.
We need plenty of hot water. Now you run out to the barn, get my shears. We'll need to sterilize.
No, Missy, don't you dare.
Go on.
He nods to Missy, who leaves.
I would rather give birth in a field than have you in here.
Birth is a natural event, Marty.
Oh, you feel what I'm feeling and tell me how natural it is. Now get out!
She jabs the air and grimaces.
Oh, God, I can't do this alone. Please help me. Please help me.
She raises her outstretched hand. At the table, Missy rests her head on her arms.
Push. You're doing fine. Push. Push. Come on. You're doing fine, Marty. Come on.
Missy smiles and stands. The bedroom door opens, revealing Clark hunched over Marty, holding a swaddled infant. Missy settles in the doorway, smiling.
It's a boy.
He gestures to Missy. He puts his arms around her.
You were moonlighter than Gerda when her baby came out.
Clark grins. Marty smiles.
Have you got a name?
Aaron Luke. Aaron after his father. Luke after mine.
He nods.
It's amazing, isn't it?
What's that?
This powerful love that just sweeps over you.
It's amazing.
Snow covers a meadow. Water drips from a hanging ice sheet near a rippling river. Blooming trees rustle in the wind. Clark swings an axe. Marty and the baby.
Weather's mighty tempting.
I thought the fresh air might do us both some good.
Yeah. You warm enough?
He smiles at Aaron Luke and places his hand under the baby's head.
Oh, he seems to be enjoying it. Hey.
Coming down the road on a wagon are a man, woman, and child.
Looks like we have company coming.
Ha!
Missy from the chicken coop.
Go ahead. You can do your chores later.
She runs.
Whoa. Whoa.
Hi, Clint. Oh, let's go on. Play.
Clint jumps off, and he and Missy break away.
Howdy.
Ben, Sarah, welcome.
Inside.
You're looking a little more rested since the last time I paid a visit.
Marty at stove.
I can hardly believe he's already a month old. It just doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, they grow when you're not looking. Blink and you just might miss it.
That's what Clark said about Missy.
Clark understands and appreciates that.
Places in cradle.
He seems to be right fond of little Aaron.
I think he is.
Sarah, smiling, smooths her dress, sits with Marty at the table, and places a napkin on her lap.
I bet little Aaron has you thinking on his pa a lot lately, huh?
Marty nods.
He would have been so happy. And proud to have a son.
Babies are a testament to love. They're living proof of what you and your husband share together.
She puts her hand on Marty's.
Nobody can ever change that.
Sarah shakes her head.
I still see Laura's dad every time her curls are bouncing in the wagon.
Ben had blonde curls?
Not Ben, Marty. Laura's daddy. He was my first husband, Thornton. I was a widow. I had two little ones. When I met Ben Graham, he had two young'uns of his own. I guess you might say we joined forces out of sheer need.
But Sarah, you and Ben, I just assumed you loved each other.
Oh, we do. Now. I got more love in my heart for that man than anybody ought to be allowed. I can't even tell you when it happened. You know, sometimes love isn't fireworks. Sometimes love just comes softly.
Marty stares at Sarah. The door opens. It's Ben.
You two are through Gavin. It's time we best be getting home.
I will come when I'm good and ready, Ben Graham.
Shakes her head.
That's fine, then. Can't say for sure if the buggy will still be here when you're ready. Enjoy your pie.
He leaves.
Ornery old goat.
Outside, Clark digs the trench as Marty places seats inside. Clark removes a clod. She comes around Clark's backside and pushes him to the ground. He starts after her. He catches and tickles her. Missy steps out the house.
Pa! Pa!
Stop!
He got your laugh back.
She returns inside.
I think I did.
Marty and Clark gaze at each other. Clark draws near.
Aaron's crying.
She leaves. Clark works up a smile. Marty enters the house, pauses, and looks upward. An unsure smile fleetingly breaks over her face. She walks. Smoke peaks over a green hilltop. Inside, Clark hurries.
Marty. Marty.
What?
Barn's on fire. Stay with the children.
Marty rushes to her window, gaping at the barn ablaze. Clark dashes to the barn doors and flings them open.
Please, God. If you're really there listening to me, take care. Please let him come out all right.
The horses bolt out.
Please, God.
Clark tugs the cow out. He falls.
Marty, what's happening?
Marty climbs off the bed. Clark collapses into a rocking chair. Marty removes a rag from a bowl and moves toward him. She kneels in front and wipes his bleeding palm.
Realize you lost your wagon and all your possessions in the fire.
I know.
I made you a promise last fall, and I intend to keep it. I'll be going into town soon to replace that feed. And if you're wanting to, we can see about your way home.
She barely glances at him.
We should put some ointment on your hands and wrap them so they won't get infected.
She walks back to the bowl. His tired eyes watch her. Outside, Clark makes a pile of black planks. Marty brings him a cup.
Here's some coffee.
Thank you.
They stand in the wreckage.
What are you going to do?
Neighbors have offered to collect some logs and raise a new barn. Ben said he'd take care of the milk cow, feed her in exchange for some milk. So I'll get my feed built back up. I think it's gonna be fine. Pretty much got it worked out. Just keep praying for answers.
Why do you think he'll answer your prayers?
He always answers my prayers.
Really? Did you pray for this?
Marty.
Did you pray to have Ellen taken away from you? Did you pray that little Missy would grow up never knowing her real mother? I just don't understand why the God that you pray to would let such unthinkable things happen to decent people.
He touches her shoulder.
Come with me.
She takes his hand.
Where? What about the children?
Oh, Nessie can watch Aaron for a little while.
Where are we going?
Well, church.
In a dry grass meadow, Marty sits on a bench next to Clark. They look out across the hills.
Nessie could fall down and hurt herself. Even if I'm walking right there beside her. That doesn't mean that I allowed it to happen. She knows the father's unconditional love. I'll pick her up and I'll carry her. I'll try to heal her. I'll cry when she cries. And I'll rejoice when she is well. In all the moments of my life, God has been right there beside me. The truth of God's love is not that he allows bad things to happen. It's his promise that he'll be there with us when they do.
She dips her head.
I'll go back to the cabin. Do you want to stay a while?
She nods and smiles. He stands, and she watches him leave. She looks back to the forest in the distance, hands in her lap. She closes her eyes. A series of clips of Bendis mounting his horse, Marty crying in the wagon, Clark in the rain. Clark, Missy, and Marty, her hair disheveled, in the wagon. A teary-eyed Missy yelling at Marty. Missy, in her pink dress, hugging Clark. Missy and Clark carrying a pine tree through the front door. Missy hugging Marty. Clark laughing with Marty. The infant smiling up at Marty. Aaron smiling at Marty. The two embracing. On the bench, Marty opens her eyes. She smiles softly. Inside, on the table, a letter reads, "Dear Clark, the wagon train will be leaving soon, but I don't want to go. Ask me to stay." Marty pens the word love in her signature. She looks over the letter. In the lean-to, she scans the room. She lifts a shirt on a nightstand, places the letter underneath, and leaves. Inside, during the afternoon, Marty washes clothes using a washboard at the sink.
Missy? Would you do me a favor and get your paws dirty clothes?
Missy grins.
Yet. Would you get? Yes, ma'am, I will.
In the lean-to, Missy collects Clark's clothes, including the shirt on his nightstand. A book underneath falls. Missy looks down and places the book back on the nightstand. As she does so, a brown letter falls to the straw floor. Missy leaves. Clark enters the house and removes his hat.
Morning.
Good morning.
She turns to him, smiling. Clark rolls up his sleeves.
Smells good.
Takes cup as Marty continues smiling at him. He leans across her anchored stance and stares, confused.
That wet winter we had sure did make the ground soft for planting.
Her smile widens across her teeth. He looks around and nods. She watches him walk about, her smile fading as she wrings a towel. He retrieves a book from a shelf and places it on the table. Marty, her smile extinguished, turns to the stove. They sit reading in front of the dying fireplace.
I haven't seen you turn a page for 30 minutes.
I can't seem to concentrate.
I'm going over to the Grahams tomorrow. I'm going to help Ben brand his new calves. Do you want to come along and visit with Sarah?
I don't think so. I should probably spend the day packing. It's about that time.
Are you sure?
They stare at each other. Marty barely nods. Clark returns the gesture.
I'll let Missy know.
He stands as she watches him leave. She looks down. She stands. From a window inside, Clark gestures to Missy. Watching Clark, Marty's eyes well up. A frown takes over her face. Clark kneels in front of Missy and takes her hand. Missy shakes her head and breaks from Clark's grasp. Missy wobbles on her feet. She flees. Marty blinks, gulps, and looks down. Clark, Missy, and Aaron Luke, swaddled in Marty's arms, ride the wagon. They pull into town, where people go about their business, stacking bales and visiting stores. On a veranda, Missy leans her head against the wall while Marty holds Aaron Luke. She looks at Missy, who inspects fabric through a window. Clark strolls toward them.
Everything seems to be in order. You'll be leaving shortly.
She gestures the infant to Clark.
Would you?
He nods and takes the baby. She puts her hands on Missy's shoulders and tries turning her around, but she resists. Marty kneels, and Missy turns, a frown consuming her face.
I wish I didn't have to leave.
Then stay.
I just can't. I want you to have my books.
Marty glances down.
And this.
She removes her necklace with a locket and places it over Missy's head.
My mother gave it to me. I might be leaving, but my love is staying here with you.
They embrace. A tear streams down Missy's face. Clark sighs well up. Marty, crying, closes her eyes and buries her face into Missy's neck. Missy runs to Clark and hugs his waist. Marty wipes a tear.
Please say goodbye to Sarah and Ben for me.
Clark nods slowly.
Always be grateful that you were there that day. I don't know what I would have done.
He hands the baby back to Marty while staring intently at her.
Bye.
Marty walks past them, her head hanging. Clark hugs Missy's shoulder as they watch Marty walk down the veranda. Clark opens the front door to his home. They step in and pause, assessing the still air. Missy walks to her toy house and kneels in front of it, playing with a figure.
Might as well get my things moved out and lean to.
He exits. In the lean-to, he ducks his head under the doorframe and enters. He removes his hat and places it on the bed. He kneels.
I don't know why you brought Marty into my life. Only to have her leave like this.
He shakes his head.
I know I don't always understand your plan.
His clasped hands rise to his chin. He grimaces.
But I ask you, with a shattered heart, please help me to accept it.
His forehead rests on his raised hands. He trembles.
Amen.
He collects himself. As he looks down, something catches his eye. In the straw, on the floor, a folded letter. He reaches down and unfolds the letter. Head tilted, he reads the letter, signed, Love, Marty. Clark bursts through the front door.
Missy!
Her head pops out.
I'm going to bring Marty back. You don't leave the cabin. I'll be back as soon as I can.
He takes off. Missy runs to the doorway. Clark and a horse blitz by. She clutches her locket. Clark and his horse gallop down a hill. Elsewhere, a caravan strolls along. Clark dares through a meadow. The caravan carves through a hillside. In a covered wagon, a swaddled heir Luke rocks in his cradle. Nearby, Marty and other women sit.
I'm glad to be leaving this godforsaken part of the country.
I wouldn't call it godforsaken.
Horrible snowstorms.
Beautiful sunsets. Rich soil.
A woman has to be crazy to stay. Crazy. Or in love.
Clark and his horse hasten across a hill. They pause upon spotting the caravan. In a wagon, Marty looks down. The women's brows furrow, and Marty's eyes dart to the side. Above the caravan, Clark rides. Below, a man on a horse halts his horse.
What's going on? Who's Marty?
Marty's mouth opens and quivers. She climbs across a woman sitting next to her. She peels back the cover. Her eyes widen. Clark dismounts his horse.
Clark, what are you doing?
Clutches Marty's hands.
Man loses his woman, he goes after her. It's as simple as that.
I thought you wanted me to go.
I didn't see the note.
You didn't try to stop me.
He doffs his hat.
Until today. Don't leave. Stay with us. Stay with me.
But I have to stay for the right reasons.
Stay because I love you. I love you.
Maybe I should stay because I love you.
A smile breaks over his face.
That's a good reason to.
They kiss passionately. In front of the skeleton of a barn, Clark, Marty, and her son ride in on the wagon. Climbing down the treehouse ladder is Missy, who tries suppressing a smile. Missy runs to them. Marty steps down and takes Missy into her arms. She kisses Missy's forehead. Clark gingerly approaches them, Aaron Luke sleeping in his arms. He smiles. Marty looks up from Missy and smiles at him as Missy holds onto Marty. From the swing, they enter their home. The sun breaks over a hill, flooding the lush, spring countryside with light. Delicate white clouds sweep across the blue sky as a forest crowns the ground below. Credits, executive producers, Larry Levinson, Robert Halme Jr.